10 years or so ago, Eric Sauer, a German theologian, same man, wrote these words: "While as yet no star traversed its course, no sun threw its flood of light and energy through space, no systems of stars and suns swept through infinity in mighty curves and uniform relations, there God was. He who in harmony beyond explanation possesses unity and life, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the basis of eternity, the living one, the only God." I want to read several passages this evening bearing upon the subject that is presented to us in these things. There's an expression that occurs time and again in Scripture in the New Testament: before the foundation of the world, or before the world was. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to be reading on verse number 22. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the fountains of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was his very his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." John chapter 1. Verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Hebrews chapter 1. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." And the final reading in John chapter 17. Verse number 5. "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, but the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own word for his name's sake this evening. When we turn to a portion like Proverbs chapter number 8, we are reminded that there is wisdom that is speaking. But three times over in the book of Proverbs, we have distinct teaching concerning this one who is called wisdom. If we turn to chapter 1 and at verses 20-23, we hear the call of wisdom. In this portion that we have read in chapter 8, we have the personification of wisdom. And we turn over to the next chapter, chapter 9, and in the first 6 verses or so, we have the fact of the invocation of wisdom. But Paul would take that up and he would say to us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and 24, and he would speak directly concerning the Lord Jesus and declare him to be the wisdom of God. And so we have no problem in affirming that what we have in chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs and these verses in particular that we have read, none other than the pre-incarnate glory of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned that it was there almost 60 years ago that the book was translated into the English language that I have read that opening paragraph. It was around that time in the early 1950s, 52 thereabouts, a young apprentice that came into the shop floor, as it were, another gentleman, an Irishman from the deep south, a JW, a leader in the cult, associated with the Cousin Beef branch, many a verbal tussle, the young apprentice and him hard over the scriptures as he worked day by day. This portion of Proverbs chapter 8, I remember distinctly. Way back in those years, 60 years ago, him affirming it has nothing to do with Jesus. So he said. As I said, many a verbal tussle we had, and I possibly wasn't saved or just newly saved at the time. And so I was thinking along the lines of what we have read in Proverbs chapter 8, and thinking about what it says there as we read at verse number 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. We have brought before us the eternity of wisdom. We brought before us there that the Lord is speaking, and by the Spirit's help, as we try to see down these verses and other scriptures that we look at, that here is none other presented to us than our blessed Lord Jesus Christ and pre-incarnate glory. the eternity of wisdom. We might say that this first opening expression has been fought over, not with 50 cups, but verbally, down through the centuries, where there are those who have risen up in Christendom, who have denied and taught differently. And so as we think of this, and this has been the crux, that looking at various translations, how they translate this expression. Because we have many translations for our use in these days in which we live. And to be careful how they translate this little word for death. The old theologians put it this way. He was not created as the Arians say to prove, they said, that Christ was only but a creature created in the RSV and the new RSV. This is how they put it. I feel very strongly on this. The Lord created me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts long ago. That's Arianism. Who was that man? Early in the 4th century, he lived in Alexandria, in Egypt, and began to teach in the church at that time that the Lord Jesus Christ was the first created act of God. He was not on equality with the Father. Down through the centuries, there are those who have taken that up, and they deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They go further. They deny His redemptive work at Calvary. There are those who live in our country today, tonight. If we ask them the question, did Jesus die on the cross? They would say categorically, no. But God, through the likeness of Christ onto another, He was taken up to heaven, while the other died on the cross. We would ask them the question, is Jesus the Son of God? We would say, no. He's just a man. That was the teaching of Arius, back yonder, at the beginning of the 4th century. And it's creeping into our day. It's creeping into Christendom. It's creeping in through translation. And so we pointed out there are those who that He is the created one, the first created act of God. that he was the one that God formed first. I take it what my scripture says. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Then this primitive root we get, this wonderful teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nice to notice that not only does the AV teach this, but so does Darby and others. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. So when we think of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, blessed forever. And so if we consider down these verses and what we've read in John's Gospel concerning him, and what we've read in Hebrews and other scriptures that we could turn to. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that's presented to us in his pre-incarnate glory in this chapter of Proverbs, chapter 8. I was set up from everlasting. It's interesting to notice how Mr. Darby puts that in his translation. But he has two notes. He says, I was anointed from eternity. Bringing our thoughts back to Psalm 22. That God said in Psalm 22 through the psalmist, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I have set my anointed. There we have the same thought, that here in this verse, I was set up from everlasting, from eternity. And so we come to a little verse like this, and we rejoice in it. When the wise men came seeking where the Christ child would be born, and they go to the wrong place, but they make inquiry, and we are reminded that their thoughts were directed to the book of Micah, in chapter number 5. Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be least in the thousands of Judah, yet shall he come forth unto me, whose goings forth have been from old, be from everlasting. Surely as those scribes and those Jewish leaders of that day directed these wise men back to the scriptures and were able to state categorically where he was to be born, the fourth is only continued reading. For they would see the place. But if they continued reading, whose goings forth were from old, yea, from everlasting. Perhaps the margin of your Bible has another reading the same as mine has. From the days of eternity. What a prophecy. That there we find that as the Lord Jesus has been born, and those wise men become seeking him, they are directed to the scripture that speaks concerning him, whose days have been from old, yea, from everlasting, from the days of eternity. That's the one who came, who's came from the days of old. So as we think of this, that the Lord Jesus is presented to us when there were no depths. I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled. Before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the habitable world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. Look at what was to be placed in our English Bible to give us the sense and the true meaning. Let's drop it for a second. I there. That's emphatic. This emphatic pronoun is found three times in this chapter. This is the third one. I there. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ he came to his baptism. You remember what John the Baptist said concerning him? He that cometh after me is prepared before me, for he was before me. We know that John was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. Physically. John is not speaking of the physical thing. John is reminding those hearers of that day. He was prepared before me because he was before me. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, he also said one day, before Abraham was, I am. Not before Abraham was, I was. But before Abraham was, I am. And so before the creation of the heavens and the earth, here is the Lord Jesus Christ brought before us. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was, before. Old Matthew Poole, an old divine of a past generation. He put it very simply. Before there was nothing but a vast eternity. You and I could hardly grasp this. That before there was anything that we can appreciate, before the world came into being, I before Genesis 1:1, when you think of the truth of God, that John 1 speaks of it, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Some people like to look at the literal translation. That little expression at the end of verse number 2 says, God was the Word. Literally, the Word was God. Faith God was the Word. I think we all like to revel in John chapter 1. In verses 1 to 3. Sitting in the doctor's office, having the consultation finished, he pushed back his chair, put his hands behind his head, so, and he says, you know, Mr. Wright, the portion of the scriptures that I loved at school was this. And then he began to speak and quote in the Greek language, John 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Perfectly. As I looked at him, I said, I can't do it that way, but this is what it says in English. And so we find that this is the tremendous truth. In the beginning was the Word, not our Word, but the Word. In the beginning was the Word. When we think of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, as we rejoice in Him, we recognize afresh that this is the one when He says, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. And we are taken there back into eternity, to that fellowship that divine persons enjoyed. And we read that He was by Him as one brought up with Him, and He was daily His delight, brought up with Him. The RV puts it like this: I was His master workman. When you think of the word master workman, your mind goes over to what Paul said one day in relation to the church: I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. And what is he speaking about? He says, I'm a master builder. The same thought, the same idea, same truth. But this is now relation to the Lord Himself, in relation to what He has done. I was brought up with Him. I was daily His delight. Let's come again to the baptism of the Savior. Let us think of what took place yonder at Gethsemane. Let us think what took place when the Lord Jesus Christ went down into those waters of Jordan. And He comes up out of Jordan. And the Spirit descends upon Him in the bodily shape of a dove. There is heard a voice from heaven. And that voice is heard saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Or we like to think that goes over the period of His life that's hidden from us, from His birth to then, except for that little spot, that little time that we read of in relation to the going up to Jerusalem. But Proverbs chapter 8 tells us of an eternity when He was in the light of His Father God. And His Father can now say, in whom I am well pleased. Let's go further down the life of the Savior. We come to that incident in the life when He goes up that mountain with James and Peter and John. And they're in the Mount of Transfiguration. And a great cloud overshadows them. And He hears a voice from the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. The one who was the delight of His Father in eternity is the one who is the delight of His Father God in time. And so we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that God delighted in. But we could turn to Isaiah. And we could think of those servant songs. We've been enjoying that a few weeks ago with one of our brethren to give a good ministry on that. But here in Isaiah 42, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And so from Proverbs we learn that he is the delight of his father. From Isaiah we learn in prophecy he is the delight of Jehovah. So we learn in the Gospels that his baptism and that his transfiguration, the Lord finds delight in his Son. But more, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Twice over in this chapter, in these verses that we've read about the habitable part of the earth, we live in the habitable part of his earth. The part that's not really habitable. But it's the expression, my delights were with the sons of men. Like John does in eternity, he who was the delight of his Father, long before the worlds were created, long before Adam was ever created, my delights were with the sons of men. Looking down through the ages of time, you and I hear the light. We are part in that verse that we were the delight of the Son's heart in eternity. So we've learned concerning this dear one, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, in John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Eternal existence. And the Word was with God. A distinct relationship. And the Word was God. Essential deity. And the same was in the beginning with God. An eternal relationship. And so this one who is the eternal Word of God became incarnate. In a few days' time, the world in some way will think of Christmas, and they might miss the Christ of Christmas. But we bow our knees every morning, as it were. We give God thanks for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of that scene when the Savior came, he who was from all eternity, out of that little town of Bethlehem, the least of the thousands of Judah, there comes that little babe whose goings forth have been from old day and the days of eternity. And as the Savior has come, and as the Savior is the one who said, this is, oh God, this is my beloved Son, in whom I find all my delights. What did Isaiah say unto us? A child is born at Bethlehem. Unto us, a Son is given. He's a Son, the eternal Son of the Father. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. He is the one that the government shall be upon his shoulder, the one that will bear the rule. And his name shall be called. Now I know my brethren might disagree in the punctuation
I still go to my own grave. His name shall be called Wonderful, comma, Counselor, comma, the Mighty God, comma, the Everlasting Father, comma, the Prince of Peace. Not his kingdom shall be no end. Wonderful. You remember the question was asked one day, what is thy name? And the angel of the Lord said, why askest thou my name? Seeing it is secret. The word translated secret there is the same word translated wonderful here. Why do you ask my name? Seeing it is secret, it is wonderful. And of course, we used to sing, wonderful name he bears. Wonderful crown he wears. Wonderful. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Who is he? The Everlasting Father. Again, we'll come to GND. He's the Father of Eternity. Well, it comes in so often. But here is the one that's presented to us. That little one that was born at Bethlehem is the one who's from all eternity. We read in John chapter 17. That moment of prayer. That prayer on the road between the upper room and Gethsemane. When the Lord prays, and I only want to pick up these two little verses in that prayer. At verse number 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. And verse 24, Father, I will also that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What a prayer. As the Lord prayed that day, one has said he was not starved. He's praying in relation to his Father, and he's praying that glory that he had with him before the world was, that glory will be seen again, that he'll enjoy it again. But for us, that prayer, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What a prayer. There's so much in that prayer that many have tried to make, but can never exhaust it. And so when we think of this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the psalmist said, how manifold are thy works and wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. And again, in Proverbs 3, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he hath established the heavens. Psalm 90, that prayer of Moses, the man of God. What does he think about? This is what he says, before the mountains were brought forth. Forever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From eternity to eternity, thou art God. And dear brother, who served with the Lord, Stan Riches, Canadian, served the Lord in Antigua for a number of years. But he came to us at Sandy Grande one time for some meetings before he ever was commended to the Lord, set work full time. And he brought with him that lovely chart. He stretched it right across the back wall of the hall, the gospel hall, from eternity to eternity. If you want to see one, you find the one in Gorky. In the gospel hall there. Just a small one. And there is he gave teaching, which none of us have got, as he thought on the greatness of the glories of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, from eternity to eternity, thou art God. So what does Paul say? He wrote to the Colossians and he said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by all him all things consist. So the scripture verse brings us so much to tell us concerning our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And we draw it to a close. Father, I will that ye also observe me, be with me, there I am. 10 years? Well, you know where the Lord is. He's with the Father. He ascended up. The psalmist says he went up with a shout. Heaven was open. The angel voice said, this same Jesus that you have seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. I believe that's the revelation of Revelation chapter 1. We have its fulfillment there. Not the rapture, but we're looking for the rapture. We are looking for a Savior to come. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And as we think of these words, here is our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, that before those stars traverse their course, before the worlds were created, then the Lord predestined me in the beginning of his way. For a fellowship. Divine persons. But he desires only a year too. What a day it will be when the Lord comes. And for all eternity to be with him. And to behold his glory. To trust the Lord to bless the reading of his word and our meditation this evening. For his name. Shall we pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the scriptures of truth. We sought our God to glean something tonight concerning our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, denied by men as to his eternal deity. Only a man, say so many. Only a created one, say others. So, Father, we do thank you for the world, through whom thou hast made the world, by him, through him, before him. Yet, our Father, we are able to see in just a glimpse a little of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And then before he said, before Abraham was, I. I was there. And Father, we thank you for this. That one blessed day we will see him. Mm-hmm. And to realize our God, we will see him in all his glory. And to give thanks in his precious name. Amen. Mm-hmm. just was around again. I thought I would do it and I did it. Oh Father, we do thank you too that as the little refreshments have been provided for us at the close of the meeting. Mm-hmm. Thank you for those who have prepared them. In fact, it might be a blessing to us. In the Saviour's name. Amen.
Sweet are thy messengers, sweet there we say. When they come, take with me more love, more flesh to thee, more love to thee. So we remain seated as we sing the words of 595.
Thank you. Lord.